New study uncovers a disturbing trend in America's criminal justice system that spans decades. KPFT local news reporter Jacob Suntheon is live in the studio with more.
A new Congressional Research Service report is sparking questions over how many people America locks up. The report indicates the federal prison population has exploded in the past 30 years. The survey finds the population swelled from 25,000 inmates in 1980 to 219,000 a day. That's a 790% increase. The report blames draconian mandatory minimum sentences, elimination of parole for federal crimes, and increasing enforcement by federal officials. The report also finds most new prisoners entering the federal prison are put there for drug offenses. Though the report starts measuring the federal prison population in 1980, the causes of this huge increase begin well before then.
When Richard Nixon wanted a political issue, and because he was in so much trouble, he decided to take a war on drugs. It's really for politics. It had nothing to do with any type of safety or nothing to do with any type of danger to this country. And they increased all the federal penalties for drugs. At the same time, New York State got involved in it, and they had the Rockefeller amendments made to the drug laws and made them horrible. The Rockefeller amendments is when they increased the penalties for repeat offenders. But see, the problem you have with that, most drug addicts are going to repeat their offense. So when you have repeat offenders, it's like kind of that three strikes and you're out law they have in California. For example, give you an example. If a person has been in the penitentiary on two different occasions and they get caught with a glass pipe with cocaine on it, do you realize that makes them a habitual criminal? They have a minimum of 25 years to serve. I mean, it's insane. And the same thing is true. What they do with these repeat offenders, they increase the penalties on them. And obviously, people with drug habits are going to repeat their conduct. And so you end up with a whole bunch of habitual cases with a very, very small amount of drugs. I mean, it's just stupid. Absolutely stupid.
Former defense attorney Jim Skelton isn't a fan of the war on drugs. The 1973 Rockefeller drug laws he's talking about introduced mandatory minimum sentences for drug offenses in New York State. Possessing more than 2 ounces of certain drugs could land you a sentence of 25 years to life in prison. The Drug Policy Alliance's National Affairs Director, Bill Piper, says mandatory minimum sentences spread across the nation like wildfire with the crack scare of the 1980s.
I mean, the classic example is, you know, crack cocaine offenses are punished 18 times more severely than powder cocaine offenses. So even possession or sell a very small amount of crack will get you 5 or 10 or more years in federal prison with no possibility of parole, even if you're a first-time nonviolent drug offender. And the problem with the mandatory minimums is that it, you know, robs judges of discretion. So if you look at the science, the effect of crack and powder cocaine on the brain are the same, so there's no reason to treat them differently. But in the 80s, with the crack scare and the hysteria, members of Congress just enacted really horrible sentencing laws that weren't based on the science, and that the laws have yet to catch up with the science. The science is clear that there's no difference between crack cocaine and powder cocaine. It's just that the laws haven't caught up with the science. Congress is a little bit behind to make the sentence fit the actual offense.
Polls indicate a majority of Americans support measures to relax laws on certain drugs, like marijuana. Nonetheless, advocates of drug law reform face stiff opposition. Skelton says reform is being blocked by private prison companies. He says the multi-billion-dollar-a-year industry stands to profit from locking up as many people as possible.
Then see what's problematic about it. There's a case in Pennsylvania that illustrates it beautifully. There was a judge accepting bribes from an institution, the institutions that ran prison to put people in prison because they needed bodies. That's exactly the problem you're going to have with that, because when you have private industry depending upon housing people to make a living, they need more inmates. And if you don't have a war on drugs, they don't get the inmates, and they go out of business. And in Pennsylvania, they had a judge who was taking bribes from one of these private institutions that run prisons to put people in prison so they'd have somebody to house them. It's just like, for example, you go see a psychiatrist. You have to be a psychiatrist. Depends on people being nuts or they're going to starve. So you're going to see them. What's going to say? You've got a problem. You're not going to say you're in great shape. He's out of business. And that's exactly what's going to happen with these private prisons, because what they need people to take care of their business, and people are like fodder to them, and they're going to take care of them. And they're going to make damn sure they get their paid people stocked up, just like at the hotel. A hotel needs customers coming there. and a prison needs customers coming there. If we declare drugs, start acting sensible about drugs, a lot of their customers won't come. They'll be out of business. It's an absolute conflict of interest.
Piper says despite any opposition to reforms, there are plenty of measures available that can reduce the nation's prison population.
The single biggest thing Congress could do is end federal marijuana prohibition. And, you know, a few members of Congress introduced legislation earlier this week to do that. A lot of the people in federal prison are there for marijuana. And so if you treated marijuana like alcohol and ended marijuana prohibition, that would reduce the prison population. You can eliminate mandatory minimum sentencing so that, you know, judges could give nonviolent drug offenders more realistic sentences instead of putting people in jail for decades for relatively minor offenses. The federal government could focus on high-level traffickers instead of low-level or medium-level traffickers. So repealing marijuana prohibition, eliminating mandatory minimum sentencing, and engaging in more effective policing at the federal level would greatly reduce the number of people in federal prison and save taxpayers a lot of money.
Human Rights Watch released its own report condemning U.S. sentencing policy. The organization says it's responsible for making America the prison capital of the world. With 1.6 million inmates, the U.S. has the highest total and per capita number of prisoners of any country. Live in the studio, Jacob Santillan, KPFT, Local News.